Today we're going to talk about something that we all need. We all need strength from time to time. And what we're going to talk about is the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Amen.
Now that is literal. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. He said, do not sorrow. Do not sorrow. What does do not mean? It means don't do that, doesn't it? Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know, we need to take that literally. Those of us who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior have a reservoir, a fountain, a river of joy living inside each of us that we don't tap into. The majority of us just walk through life sorrowing. We walk through life feeling depressed and fearful and full of worry. And we're not supposed to be living that way. God Himself placed Himself inside of us so that we do not have to sorrow. We do not have to worry and fear about tomorrow. We're supposed to be people of joy. When I see a Christian walk down the street, there's supposed to be something weird about that guy. You never see him frown, and I do, by the way. But you never see him frown. I'm talking about the way we're supposed to be, okay? We're supposed to make a difference wherever we go because Jesus said we are the light of the world.
Amen.
How can we be a light and be walking down our path of life, encountering people all the time depressed, full of worry and fear, and sorrowful in our daily life? We're supposed to have something different about us, something that makes a difference when other people see us. Do they? I have to ask myself sometimes, do they see something different about me that they don't see in other people? That they should. Do I shine forth the love of Jesus when I walk through my daily life to where there's something about me that draws them to Him? That's the way we're supposed to live. But I'm sad to say we don't. Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart does good like a medicine. Most people stop there. We like that part, don't we? But the part two of that says, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Ow. What does that mean? Dries the bones. It means you wind up all dried up. You walk around through your daily life with a, you know what most people, us older folks, know what a persimmon is? We're all puckered up. Or for a lemon. Most of us walk our daily life that way, all puckered up. Or our bones are all dried up. Why? Because we do not rejoice. We do not have joy in our life. And all the time, the joy is already there. It says a merry heart. A merry heart does good like a medicine. Have you taken your medicine today? I took mine. And it's not a pill either. Well, it's some supplements. But I want to take that joy of the Lord every day of my life. I want to take my medicine. If we are truly born again, joy is already present. Already present in us by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Most people do not know that. They don't know that joy already resides inside of them. I don't know if everybody's here is born again. I pray that you are. If not, we can fix that. That's not hard to do at all. But if you are born again, the Holy Spirit immediately comes in. He lives inside of our spirit. We become reconnected with God again. When Adam fell, there was a separation took place. So there was no joy there anymore. There was no connection. There was no oneness of heart. But when you get born again, your spirit joins His spirit. He comes in and we become alive again. We get reconnected the way Adam was, but on a better and a higher level. Man, that is so awesome that God sent His only Son, His only begotten Son, so that we would have access to Him again. We were without any way back to God, but He loved us so much. He loved the world so much that He sent His only Son to die on a cross alone, go to hell, defeat Satan there, rose from the dead, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he sent the Holy Spirit, God's own Spirit, to dwell and live inside of you and me so that we would have that connection. Amen. That is a mighty high price to pay for someone like me. But he didn't wait for me to ask him, did he? No. He started that process over 6,000 years ago just to get to me and you. He had us in his heart. There's an old song. I don't know if it's old or not, but I like it. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. That's literally true. Everyone that has ever lived or ever will live was on God's heart. Amen. Even those that had been aborted was on God's heart. They all have a purpose. They all had a place in God. They're all in his heart. Those that are not alive yet have a place in his heart. You have a place in his heart. I do. That's hard for me to fathom sometimes. Here's the creator of everything. And I have a part in his heart. That is just beyond it boggles my mind when I stop to think about that. Brother Eldon, always in Bible study over here, he'd always say, I can't fathom endless eternity. I can't fathom that. I've tried to do that too. Eternity is, there's no time. It's endless. That's where you and I are destined if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So we have the power of Almighty God dwelling inside of each of us that know Him. He dwells there. He lives there. He's part of who we are now. We're not alone anymore. We're never alone anymore. Joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit listed in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, and listen to the way these are listed. They're listed this way on purpose for a reason. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Amen. Why does he list love first? Because God is love.
That's right. Yeah.
Jesus is love. The Holy Spirit is love. And we're talking about the fruit of who? The Spirit. Love. So love is listed first. The fruit of the Spirit is love, then joy. You know, when you're walking in love, joy comes.
Right.
Joy comes when you're walking in love. All of these fruit, every one of these that I'm about to speak, all of these are present already inside you and me. They live here. They're part of us. Even if we don't recognize them or activate them, they are part of who we are.
Amen.
Because of the God that comes and dwells within each of us. They're part of Michael. They rest in me. They're part of me. They're a fruit or a product of. The Amplified says that first part there. It says, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which His presence within accomplishes. I love that. I love the Amplified Classic. Anyways, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which His presence within accomplishes. The presence of Jesus Christ, the presence of the Holy Spirit inside each of us that know Him as our Lord and Savior is accomplishing a work. It's busy. He's busy doing something. But we have to yield to Him.
Amen.
We have to acknowledge His presence. We have to believe His presence. And if you are genuinely born again, He's there whether you acknowledge it or not. He's there waiting on you to acknowledge Him and to call on these fruits. We're supposed to be trees of righteousness. We're supposed to be trees bearing much fruit. And you know what that fruit is? It's not getting people saved. That's a byproduct of the fruit. The fruit is love. Every place we go, we're supposed to be bearing the fruit of love. And these fruit of the Spirit are various kinds of love. In other words, it's like an apple. I can say an apple tree and you know it's an apple tree, and we got all different kinds of images in our mind about the type of apple. But they're not all red, are they?
No.
No, there's a golden delicious. There's all different kinds of apples. There are various types and kinds, and they taste differently. Some are used for baking, some are not, you know. But they're all apples. There's different varieties of pears and peaches and all kinds of different varieties of fruit, but they're all fruit. They're all an apple. Well, that's like this fruit here, the fruit of love that we're supposed to be bearing, has varieties, has different kinds of love that's supposed to be coming forth in our lives for those around us that have need of that particular fruit at the time. They not only work in our lives, but they're primarily for others. But before they can bear fruit for others, they have to bear fruit for me. They have to be resident, they have to be called up, they already abide, but they have to be brought forth where they can be seen. An apple tree is just a plain old tree until it starts budding. But it's still not doing its job yet until that apple appears. But do you know there's a time when that apple's no longer good? But it's good for seed, which produces another tree. So we are like that. We are walking around love vessels, love trees. You may need my patience. That's one of the fruit of the Spirit. You may need my joy. But in order for you to receive my joy, the joy that I have, it has to be abiding and present and being and coming forth in my life.
Amen.
Or you can't receive my joy. Well, it's his joy, but I'm the one holding the fruit here. And I'm the one that you see. I'm the one that you come to. Because you see me. When you come to me, you're not coming to me, you're coming to him. But I'm supposed to have the joy hanging on my branch ready for you. And if the love isn't there, the joy will not be there. It just will not be there. But the fruit of the Spirit, or the work which his presence within accomplishes, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Now, long-suffering is patience. Some translations use the word patience there. But that's what you have to be. When you're patient, you put up with things. You are the same. Being patient means you're consistent. You're unchanging. Jesus is unchanging. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's the way we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be consistent. Love puts you in a place of consistency. Love puts you in a place of walking in joy. Joy comes because you're walking in love. It's just there. And the peace comes because you're walking in love.
Amen.
Peace is there. Now, where is peace in the armor? On your feet. Why? It's on your feet because that's what you move with, but it's also what you stand with. You know, if you're in this big battle like they used to have in ancient times, these swords and all this stuff and armor and all that, they're riding on horses, got this big battle out here going on. Well, if you're even in the Bible, it shows that these battles didn't last for 10 minutes. They went days. And you can't take a break. You say, wait a minute, click, there goes your head. You know, you can't wait a minute. Okay, there's no waiting on this thing. You keep moving because the other guy's moving. You're hoping he'll stop so you can get his head. But you're in this big battle, 10,000 people or more, all fighting, all at the same time. Now, what happens if you went out there with a bunion? What's going to happen to you? You probably will make the first swat, that's it, you know? Because why? Because your feet hurt. Your feet hurt. You're supposed to be wedged there with your feet, fighting, and that puts holding you in place. That's what peace does. The peace that comes from walking in love, from the presence of the Holy Spirit, it holds you in place. You can walk right through the biggest storms of life in joy because you have your feet shod with peace. That's what that armor is. Every bit of that armor needs each other. Well, these fruit of the Spirit rely on each other too. They draw from each other. Joy has to have patience. Patience has to have joy. Peace has to have patience. If you don't have patience, your peace isn't going to be very long lasting, if you had it at all. So we need to look at these fruit of the Spirit where our joy is concerned. We're focusing today on the fruit of joy. But I said all that so that we could be in agreement here. According to the Bible, these fruits are all present in us. because we're born again. They all abide in us. If I'm not walking in joy in my life, it's my fault, not God's. If I'm born again, if I'm not walking in peace, it's not God's fault, it's my fault. If I'm not patient when troubles and problems come my way, it's not God's fault, it's my fault. Because He put Himself in me so that I could tap into that resource, that I could call it up. I could call it up. I could make a decision to allow these fruits to come up. And I'm spending too much time here, but I want to get that across to us, that we need to know it's present before we can call it up. We need to know that while I might be going through fear and worry and troubles and problems and maybe have lived for 30 years in depression, I didn't have to. But you don't know what they did to me. It doesn't matter what it matters in a way, but what I'm saying is it doesn't change anything by what they did to you. That can be changed by what you do because of it. You know, we're supposed to be calling these fruits up right in the middle of that stuff. Right in the middle, because it renews our minds. It causes us to have a fresh view of what's going on. It puts the power and the presence of God in us rising up in the middle of those things.
Amen.
We'll see them from a totally different angle of view. It may not fix the problem, but it'll fix its effect on you.
Yeah.
And then when you fix its effect on you, you can do something for someone else.
Amen.
That's the whole process. But if I'm a Christian, I'm born again, I know I am. There was a time when I set my love upon Him, I'm born again. I called His name, I want Him in my, I wanted Him in my life. But that doesn't mean that I changed my lifestyle when I left there. If I didn't change my lifestyle, if I didn't get into the Word, if I didn't start setting my love upon God, if all I did was stay the same as I was, what's the result of that? It's going to be fear, worry, and depression. And you'll walk your whole life thinking this Christian stuff don't work. It works. You didn't work it. You didn't do what your part is. See, we have the responsibility for our walk with God. He's done everything He could possibly do for us to succeed and walk in life in victory and joy.
Amen.
But we are involved in it. Joy is a major spiritual force. All of these fruits are major, major, major spiritual forces. They're so strong that Galatians says that there's no law that can stand against them. What's that mean? The devil hasn't got a weapon against them. He can't stop them from working.
Right.
They will work if you will do your part. But see, it's so sad when people that are born again don't tap into these things. They're there. They're ready. And what's our job? We that know this, we're supposed to be ministering to them that way, saying, hey, the joy giver is in you. You know, and show them some scriptures and pray with them and call that up, spend time with them, bringing forth that joy that's already in them. You know, these fruit, every one that's listed here, you can spend a lifetime asking God to give them to you. But He won't do it. Why? Because He already has. If you're born again, He gave you Himself. It's the fruit of the presence. Fruit of the Spirit. The product of the Spirit. If you're born again, He's there. So how can He give you something He's already gave you? Now He can show you, He can talk to you, He can tell you what to do if you'll get in His Word. He can show you what your part is in that, but it will work, and it will work every time because it belongs to you. It's yours. Everyone sitting here that knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior can walk out this door today full of joy.
Amen.
No matter what the circumstances are you're walking in. They can walk out of that door today walking in love and peace and joy They can do it because it's available. It's in you. You came in with it. You may not know it, but you walked in here with joy. You walked in here with love because you walked in with the presence of the Spirit. He's in us. So the fruit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are all already available in you. That last one, self-control, we all struggle with sometimes. But it is there. It's in us. We can control our lives with the fruit of the Spirit. So joy and all of these fruits are major spiritual forces. We must choose to joy and activate it. So there's two steps we have responsible for. We choose it and we activate it. We activate it with our faith. Otherwise, it will remain present in you, but inactive. That's what's so sad, because I have the answer in me, but I'm not activating it. You know, they can send you a brand new credit card, those of you who have some, or a debit card or whatever. They can send it to you, or you can download a program. But if you don't activate it, you have it, but it's useless. You can't do anything at all with that until you activate it. And that's the way it is with the fruit of the Spirit. Don't expect joy to come if you don't activate it. Our job is to activate what's already in us and to allow it to come forth. Joy, like all of the fruit of the Spirit, must be exercised regularly in order for the fruit to develop. If we're going to develop, if they're going to come up and work in our lives, they have to be developed. That means I'm continuously working with them. I'm expecting joy to come in the middle of my problem. If I am walking through these problems and issues, I am going to walk through them in joy by faith. I'm going to trust the Word to work in this circumstance. I'm going to walk through it with joy. That's a choice that I have to make myself. When I walk the love walk, it produces the fruit of joy and all of the related fruits. When we are praying and applying our faith to the promises in God's living Word, first of all, if you are praying, pray the Word. If you are praying, pray the Word. Find the promise. Pray it. That's already answered. That is God's will. So when you're applying the Word, applying faith to the Word, when you pray, rejoicing in the Lord will bring us to a place of rest in our faith. But if I'm not praying the Word, if I'm not applying my faith, then rejoicing cannot bring me to a place of rest in the Word. What's that mean when you rest? I don't have time to go there. I thought I would. But Hebrews 4, 1 through 3 talks about Israel entering into the rest. They never entered in. The reason they never entered into the rest of God, it says right there in Hebrews 4, 1 through 3, that they did not mix faith with the Word. They done tried to do it by works. And because they didn't do it by faith, they never entered into the rest. What did God say about that? He didn't like it at all. He says, God himself said, "So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." Now, if God said they're not entering, they're not coming in. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. He finished the work. He made it available. He paid the price. He brought them out of all of their bondages and things. Mighty signs and wonders. But they didn't mix faith with the Word. And it wasn't because they didn't know. They knew. They did not mix faith or trust in God with the Word. They were constantly complaining and murmuring. So they did not mix their faith with it. And we're in the danger of that too, on a much higher level. Because we have the Revelator living in us. We can't say we don't know. He's living inside of you and I. We must trust and have faith in His Word. You can be born again to love God and never be in His Word. So how in the world can you trust His Word if you don't know what it says? Again, that's nobody's fault but ours. We have to get in the Word, find out what it says, put faith in it, and then we can apply our faith and joy to it. If you don't do that, you're going to go through a lot of problems you didn't have to, and you're going to lose a lot of battles you didn't have to lose. We must rejoice always in every circumstance of life. Philippians 4:4, Paul said it this way, rejoice in the Lord always, or how often? Always. Then he said it again, because you know when you see in the Bible where Jesus says verily, that means pay attention, but when he says verily, verily, what's that mean?
Really?
Pay attention double time. This is really important. So this is so important to Paul. When he said it, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. I did not say that it would be easy. I did not say that it would be comfortable. Get comfort out of your head. If you're going to do this, you're going to do it. I did not say that it would be comfortable or easy, but we can do it. Or God wouldn't tell us to do it. You know, when God tells you to do something in His Word, He automatically gives you everything you need to do it.
That's right.
He gives you the ability, the power, the faith. He gives His angels, the Holy Spirit. Everything you need to accomplish that is already available. But if you don't partake of it, it won't work. Because you're involved in it. So, it will not be easy or comfortable. The more we exercise the fruit of joy by rejoicing in the Lord, the easier it becomes. It will become a lifestyle. You will start doing this, and you'll start seeing results. There's something changing in your life. You're no longer down all the time. You're starting to get bubbly inside, and you don't see problems and issues the way you used to see them. You didn't focus on them. You're turning your focus away from the problem. You're turning it to the Word. And now when you go through these things, it's not as hard to go through them. It's the same problem, maybe worse, but you have a different viewpoint. You're looking at it through the eyes of the Spirit. He is granting you power, strength, and wisdom. And if you'll focus on Him, apply the love walk to your joy, then you'll find revelation coming. As revelation comes, He'll tell you how to walk through that problem. And you, like the three Hebrew children, they didn't have smoke on them, not even the smell in that fire. They came out with nothing, no problems at all. That's the way God wants us to walk. That's why He provided all of this for us. But we're involved. It is vital that we rejoice in the midst of the problems and circumstances of life, no matter what they are. Michael, it's easy for you to say that. You don't know what I'm going through. It doesn't matter how big the problem is, the commandment's the same. And the result is the same. The bigger the problem, the more rejoicing you need. Not the less rejoicing. You don't say, I ain't got time for that mess. I got to figure this out. You're going down. You're not going to figure it out. And you'll just about get there when you think you're figuring it out, and another one will pop up over here. And all the time, all you had to do was take the Word of God and rejoice. What's rejoice mean? I don't think I got any college professors here, but we don't need to be to figure this out. The prefix re means what? Do it again or put it back. So rejoice means what? Rejoy. Put the joy back. So that's my job. Okay? So it doesn't matter how big the problem is. God's bigger than the problem. And the Holy Spirit living in you is bigger than your problem. But if you're not turning to Him, if you're not reaching, if you're not digging into the Word, then your problem's going to get bigger and you're going to be more in the dumps than you are now. Because you're not getting in the Word. You're not doing anything with your joy level and with the fruit of the Spirit. Right in the middle, I don't know how many big problems we have here. I've had mine. I'm not done in life, so I'm probably going to have a few more. But the answer to them is always the same. Rejoice. Rejoy. Go back to the Word. Rejoice in the Word. You know what you're doing when you apply joy to the Word? That's Mother, just every verse she gets when she prays the Word, she's thanksgiving in front of it. Thank you, Lord, that your Word says. That's what we're supposed to do. But when you apply rejoicing with the thanksgiving, now it's a double. Because rejoicing is the power behind the thanksgiving. If I'm not rejoicing with the thanksgiving is kind of just saying, well, thank you. But if you put rejoicing on top of the thanksgiving, now you're doing something. It'll make you happy when you receive it because you're rejoicing. We must have the attitude of Habakkuk. Habakkuk? Habakkuk. He's a couple of pages in the Bible, in the Old Testament. Okay? I like what he says. Habakkuk 3:17. This must be our attitude. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor the fruit be on the vine, though the labor of the olive may fail, all the fields yield no fruit, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. What's he saying? I'm destitute. This is their livelihood. I have no food. I have no money. I have nothing to sell. I have nothing. That's what he's saying. Even though that happens, what did he say in the next verse? He says, yet. Amen. What's that mean? Even though that's going on in my life, even though I'm destitute, I'm without hope, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. See, what did he do? He made a quality decision. What happens when they do that? The prosperity starts coming. God starts answering. Things start moving his way. But the joy level in him rises up because he is doing his part. He's not focusing on the fact I don't have anything, oh woe is me. He's focusing on the fact that God is more than enough.
Amen.
He's focusing that my God shall supply all of my needs. Amen. He shall. That's what the three Hebrew children said. King, we're not bound. We're not going to bow. Though he slay us, we're still not going to bow. We're going into this fire and we're coming out. Because our God will supply our needs. Now, it's a good thing that they weren't scientists. Because the scientists would say, you're not going in that fire and coming out. No. You know, it was so hot. Pardon me. It was so hot the people who threw them in there died. So we knew the three Hebrew children wasn't coming out. That's a scientific fact. Well, thank God God invented science. And thank God he has a science scientists don't know about. So they came out of there, didn't they? And we're going to come out of our problem too, because the Word says he will supply our needs. But what's our part? We can't stop. We got to stay hooked in that. Now circumstances and the problems around you and people are going to try to talk you out of it. You're a fool. That's not going to work. Yeah, but the Word says, for it is written. That needs to be your response to every time old man doubt comes up. Because I know it is written, therefore I'm going to rejoice. I am going to rejoice. Jesus commanded us to have the same attitude. I didn't finish that. In verse 19, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on the high hills. Now, that around here we got deers. These are deers. These are like mountain goats. That's what he's talking about. A mountain goat can walk right up. It doesn't matter what it is. And that's what he's saying here. My God will make me walk up this street, this hill, and put me on the top here. He knows how to do it. He'll give me deer's feet. That's faith, okay? Well, Jesus commanded us to have the same attitude that Habakkuk had. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, Jesus said it this way. He said, Nehemiah said, sorrow not. Jesus is saying, do not worry. Therefore, I say to you, Matthew 6, 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, nor about your body, or the necessities of life. The same thing that Habakkuk was going through, Jesus is talking about here. What you will put on, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? And then jump down to the bottom of Matthew 6, verse 33, he said, but, instead of worrying about those things, Instead of focusing on what you don't have. Instead of focusing on your fear and worry and all of that. What did he say to do instead of that? Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first. Not the answer to the problem. Seek the kingdom first. We don't do that. And that's our fault. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, no matter what it is, if it's a thing, shall be added to you. Now, it doesn't mean that you're going to make it happen. It says it's added to you. Who does the adding here? He does. Okay, it was added to you. Therefore, do not worry. That's a commandment. Do not worry about tomorrow. Or I like to say, stay in your now moment. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. If you'll stay in your now moment and not in your tomorrow, you'll stand a much, much larger chance of overcoming your problems and your issues for your tomorrow. If you worry about tomorrow, you're going to be right where you were or worse. But if you take care of your tomorrow by taking care of your today, you'll be ready for your tomorrow. You'll have everything you need when you get there. That was the attitude of faith that Habakkuk had. That's what he was talking about. That's what Jesus is talking about. Rejoicing in the Lord at all times in every circumstance. That's what both Habakkuk was saying. That's what Nehemiah was saying. And that's what Jesus was saying. And in Hebrews 12:1, this is not on the overhead. This is not on the overhead. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, now this is what Jesus did. We look at Jesus as our example, right? There's no one had the problems Jesus had. He had the cross. We don't have the cross. He did. But let's see what Jesus did about his problems. Hebrews 12:1-3. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. That's the number one thing we need to do. Make a choice. We're going to set these things aside. We're going with God. That's seeking first the kingdom of God. Looking unto Jesus. Oh, wait a minute. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run, not walk. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Now, if I'm looking unto Jesus, I'm not looking at the problem. Right? I'm looking at Jesus. My focus is on him, the author and finisher of our faith. So he authors it, he develops it, and he finishes it. A finisher is like a guy that finishes concrete. He makes it nice and smooth. Or a guy that finishes wood. He's the end in the process. He makes it so smooth and beautiful. He's the finisher of our faith. That's what he does with our faith. He brings it to completion. Okay. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy. So what did Jesus use? Joy. What caused him to face that cross? Joy. Joy in what? He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He was looking at us when he went to that cross. We were on his mind. That's what carried him through. The promise of the Father was on his mind. And most people don't realize it. Jesus was 100% alone. People don't realize the Holy Spirit departed too. The Father turned his back. The Holy Spirit left. He was a man hanging on that cross. He was a man. A man went into hell because we would have to. Glory to God. That's what he was facing. But see, even that didn't change his focus. Even for the first time ever, he was 100% alone. He went into that pit of hell for 3 days and paid the whole price. But that wasn't what he was focused on. He wasn't focusing on that. He was focused on the end result. Hallelujah. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Hallelujah. For the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him. We need to consider that, or take account of that, as we face our problems. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. If you're really focused on that and you believe that, and you start focusing on what Jesus did for us, it's going to change your focus on your own problem. Or it should. Don't grow weary. He doesn't want us to grow weary in our faith. And we shouldn't. That's why it's important that when you're facing the problems, no big or small, doesn't matter what it is, that you on purpose rejoice. You let it come out of your mouth. It's important that you do that. Now, the next one is Philippians 4, 6. And that's on there, Vanessa. This is the commandment. Be anxious for nothing. Now, what's that sound like? It sounds like do not be sorrowful, do not worry, do not fret, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound the same thing? Be anxious for nothing, or don't be upset. It's the same thing. So be anxious for nothing, but instead of that, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You don't just pray and supplicate, you put thanksgiving there, because thanksgiving means you receive. I've received this. Now you put joy again, like I said, with the thanksgiving. Now you've got something working for you. You're rejoicing. Okay. Let your request be made known unto God. Now that's your part. You let him your request be made known in verse 7. And when you do that, then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. If you do what it says here, your fears and worries and depression will leave. They will leave you. The problem will be there, but that won't be. And if the fear, worry, and depression is not there, you can walk right out there with joy, right through that problem. Because you're rejoicing. You're walking it through with the Word of God. Praise God. But that kind of peace, your mind and heart can't understand in the natural, because it's not a natural peace. It doesn't come from somebody else. It doesn't come from the people down the road. It doesn't come from the president. It doesn't come from any of that. It comes from your relationship with God and the one who dwells in you. That peace rises up. The fruit is working in your life. Through Christ Jesus, finally, brethren, this is what you do. This is what you focus on. He even tells us what to focus on. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, think on these things. Some translations say, the New King James says, meditate on these things. Consider them. Focus on these things instead of what you're going through. In 2 Timothy 1:7, I'm going for a landing. Okay? 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. A sound mind.
Yes.
If you're walking through depression, fear, and worry, that's not a sound mind. God did not give that to you. It does not come from God. It never did come from God. He didn't invent it. Satan did. He perverted things to get that to you. He's wanting you to focus on the wrong thing. That's as long as you do that, you're going to be full of fear, worry, and depression. But God gave you a sound mind. That's what He gave you. It's time we started walking in that sound mind. How do we do that? We renew our mind with the Word of God. We call these things up in our life. We start on purpose walking the love walk and the fruit of the Spirit. We do that. It renews our mind. It brings power and joy in us again, and depression leaves. Hallelujah. I love this next verse. This is one of my favorites. This is Amplified Classic here. I put it in there because I like what it says. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not." Another commandment. Fear not. Why? For I am with you. Fear not. Who's the I?
God.
Where's the Holy Spirit? He's in me. So fear not. He's with me. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Glory be to God. That's what he will do. One translation says he will harden you to the problems. He will harden you to those problems. I can and must rejoice at all times because the Lord is my shepherd. Is he your shepherd? Is God your shepherd? He is. Well, if he is, then I can and must rejoice at all times because the Lord is my shepherd. He will never leave me nor forsake me. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to change his mind. He will not leave me nor forsake me. And we can prove that. Again, this is the Amplified. This will be our last verse on the overhead. Hebrews 13:5b. I love this because it puts a deep emphasis on God's heart and his desire to be with us. For he, God himself, has said. So this is God saying this, not Paul. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not. He wants us to understand he's not going to. And when God has to emphasize it three times, what's he mean? He's not going to. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, relax my hold on you, assuredly not. Now, you can't get any more positive than that. Do you trust God? Can you take that as your own? Then you don't need to be depressed. You don't need to be full of fear and worry and wonder about tomorrow. He's going to be there with you tomorrow. He's going to be there with you in the future. He never has left you, and he never will. You can leave him, but he's still going to be there. You can turn away from him, but he'll never turn away from you. That's why this fruit is so important. He put it in us so that he could be with us in his fullness and provide for us in every area. And then that puts us in a place to provide for others. That's the whole thing in a nutshell. Okay, do not let the devil steal your joy. One minister says it this way, if he can steal your joy, he can get your goods. If he can take joy away from you, keeping you from functioning in the joy of the Lord, he can get everything you got. So it's your job to keep your joy level up. And if you do that, the devil can't. That's one of the ways you resist him. In James chapter 4, verse 7, it says to resist the devil and he will flee. But first it says submit yourself to God. Then it says resist the devil. You submit yourself when you resist the devil. When you submit to God, you resist the devil. When you rejoice, you're resisting the devil. You know what he does? I've done this with certain songs. That's what he does. He tries everything he can to keep that rejoicing out of his ears. He can't stand it. The other thing he will not stay around is a love walk. Amen. He will not go there. Because that's what defeated him. Yeah. He will not stay where love is. So enforce your love walk. Develop it. You'll have a whole lot less trouble with him. Not that he won't try. But you got the answer before he tries. Mm-hmm. Praise God. So I'm going to ask you a question. So what are we going to do? Everyone in here has a problem they're facing in some way or another, has had or will have. So, what are you going to do about it?
Rejoice.
Well, Georgie, we're going to rejoice in the Lord, at all times, in every circumstance of life. Why? Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. So we're going to rejoice, we're going to pray, and we're going to declare. How do I do that? Father, you know I'm going through this problem. You know it's been around for a while and not knowing what to do about it. So Father, your word says that you'll meet all of my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You'll supply all of my needs. It says also, Father, that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. It says that all things are possible to him that believes. That's what your word says. I believe it. It is written. It cannot be changed. So, and it also says that when I apply my faith, that my faith is now. It's a now faith. And it's the substance of things hoped for. And it's the evidence of things not seen. I don't physically see the answer. But Lord, I know I have it. Because it is your will to supply that need. And I know that the needer is living in me. That everything I need resides in me. So Father, I'm going to rejoice right now with thanksgiving. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I rejoice. I rejoice. I rejoice, Lord. I thank you. Glory to God. And that's what you do. You get excited about what the Word says. And what happens? Revelation starts coming. It may not be that moment. And if it doesn't come, do that all over again. Every time the problem starts showing up, do it again. That's your part. You keep the joy level up there. You seal the joy with the Word. Amen. You use the Word as your anchor. That's what Jesus did. Every time the devil came to him in the desert, he said, for it is written. For it is written. In other words, I love that as an example. I am done here in a minute. But I love that example because we see in Jesus, here's the Son of God. And he goes into the wilderness right after being baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit, it says, drove him into the wilderness. In other words, it was God's idea that he go. So he went into the wilderness, and here comes Satan. For 40 days, he's been tempting him, working with him, trying to get him to quit. But every time, every temptation that came to Jesus, now if he couldn't do it, it wouldn't have been a temptation. When he says, you're hungry, turn this stone to bread. What did he say? For it is written. For it is written. Now that would not have been a temptation if that was not possible. So he answered every single circumstance and problem with it is written. How do you do that if you don't know what is written? You must get in the Bible and find the promise related to your circumstance. Then you can stand before the devil and say, for it is written. It is written. Now, he can't do anything about that. All he can do is say something like he did with Eve. Does it really say that? I thought it said this. He's trying to pervert it and get you off of it. But if you'll stay in joy, if you stay in that word, you're going to come out the other end with your answer.
Amen.
You will. It's an absolute impossibility for it not to happen. So what are we going to do again? We're going to rejoice. When you leave here and face that problem, you're going to rejoice.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to rejoice. That's what I'm going to do. Praise God. Is there a hallelujah in the house before we go?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.